I just wanted to draw your attention to Mark chapter 10. That song we sang just a minute ago, I am resolved to enter the kingdom. I want to draw your attention to a man who seemed interested but left unresolved to enter the kingdom. And I want to draw your attention to just a few thoughts of what missions is all about, and not just missions, but our lives as Christians. What's it all about? How did Jesus give us an example? Unfortunately, our culture in America is not highly tuned to always being about and meeting people, being in the way, and as we'll see here. I do trust and pray that we have these opportunities to meet people and to make a difference for the Lord, present the truth to them. And you know the story very well. I'm not going to read through the whole text, but we'll get through some of the ideas here tonight. Mark chapter 10. There's a question in verse 26. And again, this is about the rich young ruler. He asked the question, "What, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells him, he leaves unresolved and very sad, by the way. And that's what happens when you leave without Christ. And by the time Jesus finishes telling his disciples, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished, verse 26, out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" What a question, what a disappointment these disciples went through as they saw this man leave. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." What's missions all about? First, in verse number 17, I just want to draw your thoughts to several key points, and I'm not going to take too long on each of them, but I wanted to let you think about this passage from a perspective on missions tonight. And I say missions because Jesus was all about missions. That was his mission, was to seek and to save the lost. A very simple way to just boil down the life and ministry of Jesus. Of course, he came to die for our sins and to pay the price so that you and I could have our sins forgiven, have a home in heaven, enter into the kingdom that he's talking about here, have that eternal life that only he can provide. But missions is about being in the way and meeting people. Could you not then be involved in missions? Verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, well, he was having a discussion with Pharisees at the beginning of the chapter. He's near the Jordan River in the area of Judea, and he is in a house at some point, verse number 10, and he's also people are bringing children to him, and he's not only debating with the Pharisees, and they're trying to trip him up with the question of marriage and divorce, and Jesus brings in, you know, all these issues and talks to them about their questions, and they don't really care for the answers. They just are trying to cause trouble, and we have to meet those kind of people, by the way. Unfortunately, at times, and that is a time to sharpen yourself, also to know that Jesus died for them as well. But then the little children come to him, and he blesses them. He loves them. He reminds us that our faith needs to be as theirs. Very humble, very sincere, very genuine. Easy to believe what God says. That's a child. Thank God for my salvation. When I was a little boy, my father preached the gospel to me. I think I've told you before, but my father preached the gospel to me, and I remember, by the grace of God, that day my heart was open, and I saw for the first time that Jesus died for me. And I just pictured Christ dying on the cross as I was hearing John 3:16. I knew it was for me, and my heart was drawn to the Lord, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I thank God that he gave me that faith when I was a little boy, and what a blessing it was to be saved as a child. He took them up in his arms, he put his hands on them and blessed them. And when he was gone from that scene, now he's in the road now going somewhere else, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You never know who you're going to meet when you're just out and about in Africa. Out and about in Africa, you will meet lots of people all the time, every day, if you so desire. If meeting people is your goal, Africa is a great place to be. Now, I know that you can meet people in America too, but Africans like to talk. Africans like to visit. They just enjoy being with you, whether you're white or black or yellow or red, whether you're rich or poor. They just like they like the fellowship, they like the camaraderie, they like to meet you and get to know you. And that is a huge advantage, being a missionary in Africa. I'm an American, I'm a Midwesterner. I don't always open up to strangers, believe it or not. But the Lord has called me into missions, the Lord has given me a heart for these people in Africa, and I enjoy meeting the soldiers, I enjoy meeting the rich, I enjoy meeting the poor, I enjoy meeting the Catholics, the Muslims, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, enjoy meeting the little boys, the little girls, the old men and women. They're all ages, all kinds, everyone is there in Cameroon. Here is a unique individual coming to Jesus Christ, running to Him and kneeling to Him, asking Him this wonderful question. Have you ever put the pieces together? One of the Gospels says that He was young. One of the Gospels says He was a ruler. And all of them mention His money. That's why we get the phrase, the rich young ruler. Okay? You know how unique this kind of individual is in this world? To have all of those things at once. Youth, money, and influence. Can you imagine if walking down the street as a Christian preaching the gospel, being out meeting people, Donald Trump Jr. walks up to you and asks you this question? He's young. He's rich. He has influence, does he not? Maybe back in the 60s, maybe JFK walks up to you and asks you the same question. These young, powerful men, that's what kind of man this was. And I can imagine the disciples just, wow, Lord, here's a wonderful opportunity for this guy to put his stamp of approval on our ministry. Maybe give us some financial support. But he has a spiritual question. He wants to know what he needs to do to have eternal life. The answer was not what he was expecting, but probably that was because his attitude is not what was necessary. We need to be out and about meeting people. That's what missions is all about. But we need to have compassion. Missions is about having compassion on people, like the Lord Jesus Christ. This man gets an interesting answer from Jesus. Jesus asks him a question. Why are you calling me good? And I could say that to Jesus' question. Do you know who I am? Are you acknowledging that I'm God? Because only God is good. Or are you acknowledging that I'm good and are you putting me on a level with yourself? Because this man thought he himself was good. You read the story. This man was approaching Jesus as a good person. And he did not know of anything he had ever done to be disqualified. But just in case, Lord, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Well, Jesus goes to the Ten Commandments with him. And the man continues to look right into Jesus' eyes, following this train of thought. Yes, I know. I've done all that since I was a boy. Can you imagine that answer? Can you imagine that statement that you have obeyed the law of Moses completely and entirely since you were young? I've run into a few people like that in Cameroon. I don't think they quite understood the question. I tried to dig deeper and come to find out that their church teaches them that whenever they make a decision for Christ, whether at a crusade or whatever, from that day they make a decision, they're no longer a sinner. And so then if you admit to having sinned, you are no longer a Christian. So there, some people in Cameroon are very careful to admit they're not a sinner anymore. That's very confusing, very difficult to deal with those people. Here's the young man not admitting any sin to Jesus. It's a problem. It's a problem. What would you have done? What have you done when you met people and their inquiries about the gospel, maybe not what you expected, maybe a little more difficult? You know, maybe you've talked to the person who has said, yes, stop number one, I'm guilty of adultery. What do I need to do? Well, that's a great place to start. I mean, if somebody is ready at that point, no, don't even go any farther. I've committed the first sin you mentioned. That's a wonderful open door. Or a murderer. Have you ever looked eye to eye with a murderer? I have. People have committed all these sins. I've talked to them. And when you're behind prison bars, some of them hold to their innocence and some admit right away they've done it. But they need Christ. But this man didn't admit to any of that. And Jesus, beholding him, verse 21, laughed at him. Is that what your Bible says? He loved him, did he not? He loved him. I have looked at Africans, Americans, whatever, and their answers to a question about the Bible, and I've given it a Bible answer, and their response was totally off the wall. What do you do as a missionary? Maybe at first, the temptation is to look at them and try to figure out if they're serious. Maybe other people you want to laugh, but not Jesus. he loved the man. Whatever it was that drew Jesus to this man, and I can just tell you it's just his agape love for all people. He loved him. And he gave him a hard answer. Because this man would admit to no sin, so Jesus had to go to the heart of his problem, which was his money. And it's not that money is the problem. Do you understand what the problem is? Have you read this story? Verse number 24. He has to explain to the disciples after the man takes the answer and leaves. He's sad because Jesus tells him he needs to sell what he has, give to the poor, and he'll have treasure in heaven, and then take up your cross and follow me. The man was dumbfounded to get rid of his wealth. What was it? Millions of dollars? Billions? I don't know how much money it was, but he had a lot of money. And Jesus told him to part ways with it and follow him. The problem was not his money, but the problem was that Jesus knew this man was, in verse 24, trusting in his riches. And Jesus has a knack. He's the Lord God, I know. He has a knack for getting to the heart and the root of people's problems in the Scriptures. The woman at the well, he went right to her problem, which was the men in her life, her dependence on them, her desire for them, to be with them. This man, his problem was money, and Jesus went for that problem because that's what the man was holding on to. There's a problem of trust. Missions is all about seeing people trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This man was not willing to do that. If this man was willing to know who Jesus was and to take Jesus at his word, he would have done it and trusted God for the outcome. Because Jesus later promises, you know, you give up this, but here God will supply this. We as Christians know that. And maybe we're a little stubborn at times and have to learn the hard way, but this man was not willing to take Jesus at his word. He was not resolved to enter the kingdom, and he left sad and grieved at what Jesus asked him to do. Did Jesus' answer surprise you? Well, he explains the reason he said that is because this man was trusting in his riches. The disciples are perplexed and surprised. You know, they always thought, it seems that they thought that money is a sign of God's blessing. And in Cameroon, there's a lot of churches that teach if you don't have money, it's because you're not being obedient to God. If you do have money, it's because you're being wonderfully obedient to the Lord, and that's why He's blessed you with money. That's not always the case. We know that rich and the poor will always be here, that God trusts people with money, and He expects us to use it and to be faithful with it and to be a blessing to God's cause. And missions is about seeing people trust in Jesus as their Savior. And I wish I could tell you that this man trusted Christ and became part of the team, but he didn't. Thank God Zacchaeus did, right? There was a man who responded to the same truth, the same issue, and he repented and believed in Christ, and he took care of his money problem. Nicodemus was another man who responded. The woman at the well, many people responded, but this man did not. Missions is about dealing at times with disappointments. Don't think that our prayer letters, which we try to keep positive, but there's a lot of disappointments behind the news. There's a lot of things we can't tell you and won't. There's a lot of things we trust that the Lord will provide. And there's a lot of things that we don't want to mention. We don't want to discourage you. There's a lot of trouble and difficulties. But you know what that's all about. You have the same things here. Life is not just all easy in Africa. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Well, it's not just 100% easygoing. And I know you know that, but missions is about dealing with difficulties and disappointments. But missions is in verse 27. Missions is about seeing God do the impossible. Seeing God do the impossible. When you see any person, whether he's rich, whether he's poor, whether he's this religion or that religion, whether he's old or young, when you see an individual who Jesus Christ died for, turn to him and trust him as their only Lord and Savior, that's the impossible has been done. That's God's work to save a soul. And all you were in the way. You were speaking the truth. You were having compassion on them. Folks, you can be a missionary anywhere. You can be a missionary in Africa. I hope Brother Eric comes back. Builds on the foundation that he's laid over there. I hope you'll send some more people. I'm looking forward to more of our supporting churches coming to Africa, coming to see what we're doing over there. What a bond that creates between us. And thank you so much for your support and your prayers over the years. And thank you for sending Brother Eric to come over and see and be a part of God doing the impossible. Impossible with men, but possible with God. I just want to be in the middle of that. I want to be a part of what God's doing, whether here or there or wherever God would send us. Missions, lastly, in verse 28, 29, 30, it's about sacrifice. You and I, as Christians, have to be willing, for the gospel's sake, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, to at times make a sacrifice concerning our house, our brothers or sisters, our fathers or mothers, our wives, our children, our lands. Whatever God asks us to sacrifice, living the Christian life is about being willing. Surrender that thing and let God use you and do the impossible. Whatever it is, maybe tonight, that you might be holding on to as a young person, or maybe you as parents are not willing to let your children go to serve God, don't do it. Don't hold on. Trust God. Trust is not just good for salvation. Trust is good for you, that whatever God wants or expects or asks, He will take care of you. He loves you. He'll have compassion on you, just like He did this lost individual. God loves you. God wants you to serve Him, and God will bless you. Whatever sacrifice you make, be assured that the blessing that will follow will be a hundredfold. A hundredfold, as Jesus promised. Do you believe that tonight? This is what missions is all about, as these things I've mentioned. For time's sake, I won't recap them. But missions is a wonderful thing. Living the Christian life is a wonderful thing. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get down. Sometimes we doubt. But if we can resolve the issue of trust that is causing those discouragements or doubts, wonderful things will happen. Lord, I pray tonight that You'll bless preaching of Your Word, Lord, the burden for Cameroon that's been presented. Lord, thank You for the patience of these dear people tonight. I pray that You'll bless each one. Lord, any decisions that need to be made, I pray that You'll work in the hearts of these people to surrender to You. And I pray in Jesus' name.